Amen, brother. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 this morning. I really don't have a title, I don't guess. Y'all can just make up one for the internet, I reckon. But Thursday night, we heard, I've already mentioned, 15 sermons on Thursday night. I know some of you are wondering, how long did they preach? They preached 10 minutes apiece. And some went over, some of the younger guys went under, but it worked out. But Brother Todd preached from that scripture where Paul said, I press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And Brother Todd preached on making New Year's resolutions. And by the way, Happy New Year. Can you believe God has given us a new year? Today's a new day. You know what every day is? Every day is an opportunity to do better than you did yesterday. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many could say, I blew yesterday. Or I messed up yesterday. Well, thank God He's given us today, and we are not promised tomorrow, but we have today. Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, the psalmist said, and be glad in it. And Brother Todd talked on Thursday night about setting goals or making resolutions. And somebody made the statement, I think that's silly to make New Year's resolutions because you're not going to keep them anyway. Well, I promise you, if you don't make them, you will never achieve them. Somebody said, do you believe in resolutions or goals? Of course I do. I don't just think they're a good thing. I think they are a necessary thing. If you don't have a goal, if you don't have a place that you're trying to reach, you will never get there. Does that make sense? If you don't have some direction of where you're going, you'll never reach your destination. I remember as a teenager, I grew up, and as a young adult, I had coon dogs, raccoon. We coon hunted for years. If you're from around here, you're familiar with coon hunting. Amen. If you ain't, you've missed out on living. And if you're 50, you're too old, forget it. It's too much walking in the dark. Amen. But I grew up raising hound dogs and coon hunting, and there's a place over in Halseytown, which is, if you're not from here, if you're here, you know where it's at. There's a place over there, we always called it Heartbreak Ridge. And I don't care how many times I had been in there, it never failed. Five times out of 10, we'd get turned around in there and get lost. I remember one night, me and a friend of mine, we were in those big old hollers. Every one of them looked the same. And he said, the truck's that way. And I said, you're out of your mind, the truck's that way. I said, well, let's try your way for a little bit, and then we'll try my way. So we started walking his way toward the truck. Well, we walked and we walked and we walked, and we stopped in the middle of the woods, and I said, whoa, 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 Keith, does this stump look familiar? He said, yeah, we done been here, ain't we? I said, yep. Let's do it my way. What we were doing was going in circles. You know why? Because we didn't know where we were going. We had no sense of direction. There was no stars. There was no moon. It was pitch black. I said, now the truck's that way. Let's do it my way. So we started going my way. And we walked up and down them hollers for about an hour. And all of a sudden, Keith said, hey, is that the same stump? I said, you know what? That is the very same stump. I looked at my watch. It was 5:00 in the morning. I said, I know what we need to do. We need to sit down right where we are and wait for the sun to come up. Because until we get some light, we ain't never getting out of here. And we made a pact and a pinky swear in the woods that night that we wouldn't tell nobody how lost we got. But I believe that's past the statute of limitations, and I can tell it. We was lost as two boys could ever be lost. The sun came up and we began to get a little light. And at the same time, we both said, the truck's over there. And once we had some light and a sense of direction, we began to walk. And in 10 minutes, we was at the truck. Guess where the dogs were? In the bed of the truck, sound asleep. I bet them old dogs thought, them fools will be here come daylight, amen. What I'm trying to say is we had a goal, and the goal was the truck. But we had no sense of direction. We knew where we wanted to go, but we didn't know how to get there. Now, there's a lot of people set a lot of goals and made a resolution, and I've done some for myself. I've made some physical resolutions. I turned 51 this past year, and I got to start taking care of myself. My dream and my desire is to be your pastor as an old man. But if I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to make it to old manhood. Some of y'all think I'm old now. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. I got some years left. Amen. I need to take better care of myself and exercise and eat right, which I do none of the above. My motto is exercise if it's got a motor on it. Amen. I love riding bikes, Harleys. Hallelujah. That's good exercise. Amen. No, seriously, I got to take better care of myself. I got to eat right. So that's a goal, isn't it? Now, to meet that goal, I got to start somewhere. Now, you know how foolish it would be. Now, a few summers ago, I really got into riding my bicycle on the Silver Comet Trail. And I built up to 100 miles a week. I did. I'd ride 100 miles, and not all in one day, but in a week, I'd ride 100 miles. That's a lot. That's the best I ever felt in my life. Now, I hadn't ridden my bicycle to nothing to say in a year and a half. Now, if I was to get up in the morning and say, okay, today I'm going to start on my exercise program and I'm going to ride my bicycle 30 miles today. That's an unreal goal. About 10 in, I'm on my cell phone calling somebody to come get me. Because the bad thing about riding a bicycle, no matter how far you got to go, how far you go that way, you got to ride all the way back. I remember one day I rode from Dallas all the way to Rockmart. And I was in Rockmart at the park in Rockmart, and I was sitting there, and I was out of Gatorade. I was out of energy bars. I'd have nothing. I was drinking water out of the creek in Rockmart. Imagine that. Ain't no telling how many septic tanks run in the creek in Rockmart. But I was desperate. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I got to go all the way back to Seaboard Drive in Dallas. And I ain't got the gas to get there. And I come all around calling my mother-in-law in Rockmart and saying, come get me. But there's something inside me. I jumped back on that bicycle. I made it back to Dallas. What I'm trying to say is, if I start riding tomorrow, maybe 5 or 6 miles will be all right. I got to start somewhere, though. I've got to begin somewhere. To reach a goal, you're going to have to begin somewhere. Now, this morning, the Lord has changed my message. I told Brother Chris in my office, he changed my message 3 times this morning. 3 times. It started last night, changed it twice last night. I was like a woodpecker in a yo-yo, man. I didn't know which way to go. I started to say, Lord, I did say, Lord, if you don't give me some direction, I'm going to be like in two boys coon hunting lost in the woods. I don't know where I'm going. You got to give me something or I'm going to have somebody else preach. And this morning, I believe the Lord confirmed this to me. Now you can raise your hand or not. I don't care. But I wonder how many of you have set some goals for your life or a resolution of any sort. Now listen, we ought to make physical resolutions or set physical goals for ourselves. Where do you want to be at the end of 2016? I realize where I was at the end of 2015. Now where I wind up at the end of 16 depends on what I make up my mind to do. I've set some goals. You ought to set some physical goals, but then you ought to set some spiritual goals. If you're saved, if you're born again, you ought to have a desire to be closer in your walk with God by the end of 2016 than you were at the beginning of 2016. Now, I believe if you set any kind of goal, before you can set out to reach that goal, there's some questions you must answer. There's some questions that you must answer and be honest with yourself and honest with God. Now listen to me, even though you're saved on your way to heaven, every one of us are liars. Don't get many amens there, but every one of us are liars. I guarantee you I could walk to every person in this room individually and say, how are you doing? I'd get the same answer. Oh, doing good, doing good, doing good. How's your walk with the Lord? Oh, great. Well, it got quiet, Brother Fred. And we'll just give a quick answer. And we'll give an answer that we think the person asking wants to hear. But listen, when God asks a question, it's a different story. When God asks you a question, He's not asking because He does not know. When God asks a question, He already knows the answer. When God asks a question, He's asking for the simple reason of bringing you to the realization of the answer. Does that make sense? When God asks you a question, whatever that question may be, He's wanting you to ponder on the question and come up with the answer for you, not Him. Now this morning, before you start out to reach your goal, I'm going to lose 500 pounds this year. Number one New Year's resolution, lose weight. Number two, quit smoking. Number three, exercise. Amen. People make those resolutions. Some people have already decided, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through this year. Amen. To read your Bible through all the way this year, you're going to have to open it. Amen. You're going to have to start somewhere. Some of you are already 3 days behind on your New Year's resolution. But I want to look at some questions that God has asked in His Word. God asks more questions in the Bible than anybody. And when God asks a question, again, He always knows the answer to the question. First question in the Bible, in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 9. If you know the story, God made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. By the way, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Say amen right there. Just thought I'd throw that in. Amen. Amen. He made man and a woman. Amen. Somebody said, why did He call her woman? Adam named her. I believe Adam woke up out of that sleep and took one look at her and said, whoa, man. Amen. Adam and Eve, man and a woman. By the way, I got to quit. You can't have a family without a man and a woman. You can't have a farm without a bull and a cow. I'll leave that alone. In the Garden of Eden, God made man and woman. He created everything. And in that garden, God placed a tree. That tree of good knowledge. And He put a fruit on that tree. And He told Adam, He said, you can have everything in the garden you want. It's all good for food, but don't touch that. He said, the day you touch it, you'll surely die. There they were. Only one temptation for Adam and Eve in the entire world. There was no methamphetamines, there was no Budweiser, there was no Marlboros, there was no dirty movies, there was no pornography, there was nothing, there was no temptation except that tree. God put that tree in the garden because He wanted man to choose to serve Him. He wanted man to love Him because man wanted to. You know the story, Eve took of the fruit, the serpent beguiled Eve, or conned her, if you will, into taking that fruit, and then Eve gave it to Adam, and Adam took it. When they took it, sin entered into the world. How many of you know what sin is? It's any transgression against God's law. It's breaking God's rules. Somebody said, I hate rules. I do too, but we got to live by them. If you don't live by them, you'll crash. Amen. There's speed limit signs all the way between here and Dallas. If you get out there and disobey those rules of the road, those stop signs like the three-way stop down here and the four-way stop at New Georgia and the red lights, if you ignore all those rules and do it your way, you probably won't make it to Dallas. Yeah. Those rules are not there to hinder you or to keep you back. Those rules are there to help you. But in Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve realize they have sinned, and they realize that they're naked. And they sew fig leaves together, and they make a covering to cover themselves. That's what we always do with sin. We try to cover it. Say amen right there. We always try to cover it. But God comes, as he normally does, in the cool of the day, to have fellowship with Adam. In verse number 9, the Bible said, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him," say the next three words with me, "Where art thou?" Look up here. Do you think for a second God didn't know where Adam was? The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knew where Adam was. And by the way, God knows where you are. There ain't no hiding from God. You hide from mom and daddy. You hide from your husband or your wife. You hide from the preacher. You will never hide from God. He knows where you are. God didn't ask Adam the question because he didn't know where Adam was. He wanted to know if Adam knew where Adam was. Before you start out on your goal this morning or to reach your goal, let me ask you question number one. Where are you? Where are you? I stay in motels all over the country. Every motel has the same thing on every floor. You'll find a map. And that map will be a fire escape plan. And on every map, it'll have a red dot or a red area highlighted. And you know what it'll say out beside it? You are here. Before you can ever reach the exit, you got to realize, number one, where you are. Now, I'm not asking you where you are geographically, and I don't think God was asking Adam that question for that purpose either. When I ask you where you are this morning, I'm not expecting the answer of 605 Main Street, Villarica, Georgia. I want to know where you are spiritually this morning. Do you even know? Most people don't. Most people have convinced themselves of where they are, and it's not really where they are at all. You ever lied to yourself so much you believe it? I guarantee you there's some people in here who think they are fine, upstanding Christians. Well, it got quiet. Where are you spiritually this morning? Are you closer to God now than you've ever been? Where are you? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Let me ask that question again. Where are you spiritually? If you died today, would heaven be your home? Somebody said, "I don't believe you can know that." Well, the Bible says you can. John said, "These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life." Where are you spiritually this morning? Before you can ever go forward, you've got to realize where you are. Every time I cut the GPS, Micaiah preached on the phone Thursday night. That was awesome, by the way, and you can consider that borrowed. Every time I turn the GPS on my phone, it asks me a question. My phone asks me a question. Every time I cut that GPS app on my phone, it says MapQuest would like to use your current location. You see, before that MapQuest, that directional guide, before it can ever get me to where I'm going, it's got to understand fully where I am. Where are you this morning? You say, "Well, I want to go here and I want to go there and I want to read my Bible and I want to pray and I want to witness and I want to do this." But before we can ever start, we got to realize where we are. The prodigal son realized where he was. He came to himself and realized he is in the hog pen. We got to realize where we're at this morning spiritually. I want you to ask yourself that question and answer it honestly. Am I where God wants me to be? Am I in the place God wants me to be in? Brother Chris and I were working horses a few months ago, or maybe just a couple of months ago, and we were down in the barn, and Brother Chris's phone rang, and it was Sister Tanya. And she was going to Cade's ball game. I believe it was football season. And Cade had rode the bus and he was already there. And Tanya had, I don't know, she had some folks with her and they were going to the ball game. It was way off somewhere. And she was trying to get directions from Chris. And Chris said, well, it depends on where you are. And Tanya said, I don't know. And Chris said, you can't get there from there. Before we can ever give you directions on how to get to where you're going, you've got to stop and figure out where you're at. Amen. Bless her heart, she still don't know where she is. We like to never get figured out where she was. She had to start describing what she had passed and where she had been. Hey, she had to backtrack in her mind a little bit. Are you listening? You may have to stop and take some time to spiritually figure out where you are. You may have to really search that thing out. If you're going any further, listen to me. Listen to me. You're not going a step further till you realize where you're at this morning. We need some people to realize where they are this morning. Somebody might say, I realize where I'm at is lost. Lost. I don't know where I am. I haven't got a clue where I am. Well, I promise you this morning you can be found. If you'll be real honest, you can be found this morning. There's help. The famous man statement, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. Amen. I'll just take this road. It's got to come out somewhere. Well, it does. It'll come out somewhere, but it may not be where you're going. The best thing you can do is stop and ask somebody familiar with the area. Yeah. Amen. I remember the first time I preached in Jigger, Louisiana. I got off the interstate at the wrong spot, traveled for about 45 minutes hunting that church. Now that church ain't got no town. Jigger's a community about like New Georgia. Finally, I just stopped at a stop sign and sat there till somebody come by. Finally, an old farmer in a truck come by, and I flagged him down. He said, can I help you? I said, I'm trying to get to Jigger. He stood there a minute and spit on the ground and wiped the juice off his chin. And he said, boy, you can't get there from right here. He said, where'd you get off the interstate? And I told him, he said, that's where you messed up. He said, you're going to have to go all the way back there and get back on track before you can get where you're going. So I had to do a little backtracking. But it finally got me straightened out. You may have to back up a little bit. Where are you this morning? Are you in the will of God? Are you doing and fulfilling the will of God in your life? Are you right with God? You say, well, as far as I know, I'm right with God. Are you right with each other? If you're not right with each other, you're not right with God. Is it cold in here? I see people bundling up. I'm not asking people on blood thinner. I'm asking people who are normal. A tad cool, Brother Stacy. Just a tad cool. Bump it up one. If you're hot, raise your hand. If you're cold, raise your hand. Y'all swap places. Y'all will be all right. Amen. Where are you this morning? Hey, that's a simple enough question and an honest enough question. Where are you spiritually? Where are you with God this morning? Could you answer that question honestly in your heart? I don't want to know the answer. I want you to know the answer. God already knows the answer. He wants you to know the answer. Where are you this morning? Look at Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. Just a few questions that the Lord has asked through the Bible this morning. Some of you have heard some of this before, but sit still. You'll be all right. Genesis chapter number 32. We're dealing with a man named Jacob. Jacob has a twin brother, Esau. Jacob is a con artist and a liar. He cheats his brother out of his birthright. He cheats his brother out of the father's dying blessing. Jacob is a mess. His name means trickster or supplanter or con or cheater, okay? That's who he is. That's who he is and that's what he is. But he's on the run. He's running from his brother Esau. And on the run, he runs into somebody bigger than him. And Jacob finds himself in a wrestling match with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? I have many times. And let me say, I've never won. I've never won. You say, well, I've never wrestled with God. Some of you are wrestling with God over that first question this morning right now about where you are. You're trying to tell God where you are. You're trying to convince God of where you are. You're trying to convince everybody around you of where you are. But you've yet to be honest about where you are. What's the first thing? I've never been there, but AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. What's the first thing they get them to do? Admit. They'll stand up, if I got this right, Brother Carl, am I right? They'll get you stand up and say, my name's so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. Is that right? You can't never get over it till you realize you got it. Somebody say amen right there. I'm getting stuck on that first point. Realize where you are. Be honest with yourself. And honest with God. It's not something you got to stand up publicly and state. Amen. This is where I am spiritually. I'm a train wreck. I'm a mess. I'm not right with God. I'm backslid. We don't want to hear that. But God does. Amen. But God does. Question number two. Jacob is in this wrestling match with God, and Jacob is holding on to God, and he's asking God for a blessing. And God's telling Jacob to turn him loose, and Jacob's saying, I'm not turning you loose till you bless me. This is not the first time he's asked for a blessing. But he's not dealing with his blind, dying daddy. He's dealing with the God of heaven. And in Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 27, the Lord calls a time out in the fight, and he said unto him, what's the question? Say it with me. What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And the Lord said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Wow. Right in the middle of the fight, God stops and asks a question. Who are you? In Genesis chapter number 3, God comes to Adam in the cool of the day and he says, Adam, where art thou? Where are you? But in Genesis chapter number 32, God looks at Jacob in the middle of the fight. Jacob's holding on to God's leg and God says, wait a minute, time out. Who are you? Do you think for one second God didn't know who he was? Remember, this is not the first time he's asked for a blessing, but this is not the first time he's been asked his name. The last time he asked his name, he disguised himself to his blind father and passed himself off as his brother, and his daddy said, who are you? And he said, well, I'm Esau. He said, well, you sound like Jacob. He said, well, here, touch me and feel me. Y'all remember that? He lied about who he was. I wonder how many of you are lying this morning to yourself, to your family, to those around you, even to God about who you are. Who are you? For years, if you would have asked me if I was going to heaven when I die, if I were a Christian, my answer would be, I'm a member at the White Oak Springs Baptist Church. Church membership didn't change who I was. I'd been through the baptistry as a 6 or 7 year old boy, but that baptistry did not change who I was. For years, that was my answer. Of course, I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm a member at the White Oak Springs Baptist Church. Maybe you joined this church recently or years ago, but it doesn't change who you are. God stops in the middle of the fight and he says, Jacob, or he says, hey, who are you? And Jacob gives an answer that is quite different from the last time this question was asked. Last time his father said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. This time God asked the question. And remember, God knows who he is and God knows who I am and he knows who you are. And this time God says, who are you? And for the first time in Jacob's life, he's honest. And he said, I'm Jacob. God said, who are you, son? He said, I'm Jacob. In essence, here's what he said. God said, who are you? I'm a cheater. I'm a con. And I'm a liar. You know what God said? He didn't even pause. God said, not anymore. Not anymore. We're going to call you no more cheater, con, liar, trickster, supplanter. That's not your name anymore. From henceforth, we're going to call you Prince. Why? Because for the first time in Jacob's life, he was honest with himself and he was honest with God about who he was. And in an instant, God changed who he was. Amen. How many of you believe God can change who you are? He can change where you are and he can change who you are. I remember that New Year's Eve some 31 years ago in Brother J. Bice's front yard at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and God came by that New Year's Eve party and said, "Hey, who are you?" For the first time in my life, I did not answer, "I'm a member at the White Oak Springs Baptist Church." For the first time in my life, I was honest with myself and I was honest with God. God said, "Who are you?" I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I'm on my way to hell. And there's nothing I could do to deserve your love and your mercy and your forgiveness." And God interrupted right in the middle of a prayer and said, "Your name's not sinner anymore. From henceforth, we're going to call you saint." How about that? But before that name could be changed, before that goal could be reached, I had to realize not only where I was, but I had to realize who I was. Where are you this morning? Who are you this morning? Are you a child of God? Somebody said, "Well, we're all God's children." No, we're not. We're all God's creation. But to become His children, it requires a second birth. You must trust Christ as your Savior. Who are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Simple questions. But boy, the questions are simple, but boy, the answers may be tough to come up with. Some of you have lied to yourself so long, you don't know where you are. You need spiritual help. You need the Holy Spirit to show you where you're at this morning. That's what it took for me on that New Year's Eve. I didn't come up with the idea that I was lost and on my way to hell all by myself. Somebody had to reveal that to me. God said, "Where are you? Who are you?" And the Holy Spirit said, "You're lost and you're a sinner." Some of you have lied so long you don't know where you are and you don't know who you are. God don't want you living that way. I'd get those answers this morning. Let's just, I'm going to skip a few this morning. Let's go to our New Testament, book of John. Go to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Y'all still doing okay this morning? Amen. I know what time it is. I'll be through in just a minute. But I want you to reach your goals. Amen. I want you to attain what you've set out to reach. Amen. And I don't want to make light of your physical goals. I want you to reach them too. I want you to reach them too. There's people in our church that I'm praying for to lose weight. I'm serious. You say, "What you got against fat people?" Nothing. I told Stacy the other night, I said, "Man, I wish I could take some of yours and put it where I want it." He said, "I'll give you some of mine. That I'd take it if I can choose where it goes." Amen. I ain't got nothing against fat people, but we got some people in our church, if they don't lose some weight, their health is suffering because of it. So I'm praying that they reach their physical goals. But I'll be honest with you, I'm more interested in your spiritual well-being this morning than I am your physical well-being. I would rather see you out of overweight and out of shape and die and go to heaven than built like Casey Crosby and die and go to hell. Are you listening? Man, I'm on your side this morning. Who are you? Where are you? Let's look at John chapter number 6. You know the story where Jesus takes a little boy's lunch and feeds a multitude. Thousands of people is fed that day from just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. The Lord prays and multiplies that, and everybody eats, and there's 12 baskets left over. But in John chapter number 6 and verse number 5, let's just back up. Look at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. Now watch the question. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now pay close attention to verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew the answer. Jesus already knew what was fixing to happen. But he asked the question to prove the one that he was asking. Question number 1, Adam, where are you? Question number 2, Jacob, who are you? Question number 3, disciples, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Men, have you ever had your wife approach you when the bills were stacked up and say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The answer they gave the Lord was inadequate. The answer they gave in response to Jesus was not the right response. The Bible said, and Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even take a little. You know what they were counting on? What they had. They said, Lord, this is all we got, and it's not enough that everybody might even have a bite. The right answer would have been, you tell us. Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've got this multitude. How are we going to feed them? The Lord's the one asking the question. I think the correct answer would have been, you the one walking on water. You the one turning water into wine. You tell us. But our problem is often we depend on what we have and our ability and our strength. Some of you have wanted to set some spiritual goals, but you're afraid to because you can't attain it. And you can't. You can't. All by yourself, you can't have an effective prayer life. By yourself, you can't read your Bible and be faithful to Bible reading. By yourself, you can't maintain a right walk with God. By yourself, you can't maintain holy, clean living. But we got to realize we're not in this thing by ourselves. We got to realize that the one asking the question this morning is the one who can do everything with nothing. We've got to realize the one who is saying, what are we going to do, already has the answer. I don't know what your situation is this morning, but did you know God already has the answer? Maybe you don't have it because you haven't asked for it. Maybe you haven't returned the question and said, Lord, I don't know. You tell me what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't even know who I am. I don't know where I'm at. How am I going to tell you what I'm going to do? God, I need your help this morning. Can I get a witness right there? Our problem is honesty, isn't it? Here's our solution. Let's get the deacons together. What are we going to do? Well, I think we ought to do this. And another one says, well, I think we ought to do that. And another one says, I disagree with both of them. I think we ought to do this. Why don't we just ask God? Why don't we just ask God? Husband and wife going through a difficult and a rocky time. One of them's watching Dr. Phil and the other's watching Oprah. That's a divorce waiting to happen. And the mother-in-law's watching Joel. I had to throw that in somewhere. You're without hope. Husband, why don't you get the wife by the hand and say, let's ask God. We've done it. Have you ever made this statement? I've done everything I know to do. Have you? Come on, y'all talk to me. Y'all partied too hard this weekend. Wake up. Y'all look like a bunch of... Never mind. Have you ever said, I've done everything I know to do? I don't know what else to do. Why don't you ask God? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to trust Him. We're going to trust Him. We're going to trust Him. Somebody just asked me this just a couple of weeks ago, preacher, what are we going to do if this election don't go right? There ain't no right. Can I get a witness right there? Let me say it again. There ain't no right. You say he's politicking from the pulpit. No, I'm telling you the truth. All of them are wicked. What are we going to do? We better trust God and not Uncle Sam. We better trust God and not this government. This government's got us in the mess we're in. Some of y'all ain't liking that. Swallow real hard. It'll go down. The government wasn't designed to bail you out. But God has been in the bailout business from the beginning of time. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve messed up and fell into sin, they said, hey, we're hiding because we're naked. And God said, hey, I got a way out. What are you going to do? Why don't you trust God with it? Why don't you trust God with that wayward child? Why don't you trust God with that broken relationship? Why don't you trust God with those failed finances? Why don't you trust God? What have you got to lose? Nothing else seems to be working. Adam, where are you? Jacob, who are you? Disciples, we've got a task set before us that is bigger than what we've got. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Correct answer, we're going to trust you, God. Whatever you say, do. If you say go get take a little boy's lunch away from him, we're going to go take a little boy's lunch away from him. That's like the bully stealing your lunch money. I believe he gave it willingly. Just making a joke. We're going to go take the little boy's lunch. If you say go get the Happy Meal and you're going to pray and feed all these people, we're just going to believe what you say. I know with what we have it looks impossible, but we're going to trust you with the impossible. Do we not serve a God of impossibilities? Yes, we do. Lord, the Lord says, where are you? Who are you? What are we going to do? Look at John chapter number 21. I'm almost done. John chapter number 21. The Lord's been crucified. He's risen again. Simon Peter looks at the disciples and said, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going fishing. And the other disciples said, if you're going fishing, we're going with you. Now look at me real careful. That ain't like me and Brother Anthony getting in a bass boat and going over there and just having good fellowship and wearing them big old bass out. That makes the fellowship better, don't it? It's even better when Denise brings us biscuits, amen, and coffee. Now, brother, that's fishing when your wife comes to the bank and brings you breakfast, hallelujah. Some of you wives ought to take some notes right there. They ain't talking about that kind of fishing. When Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing, he meant I'm going back to what I did before I ever met him. Because this don't seem to be working. You don't have to answer this question, but I wonder how many times you've stopped and thought, this trust in God ain't working. This living for Jesus just don't seem to be cutting it. Oh, it's easy when you're up on the mountain and God's blessing and everything's good, but you get down in the valley and you're wondering, where's God at now? Peter said, I'm going fishing. Them disciples said, we're going with you. If you know the story, they fished all night long and they ain't caught nothing. John chapter number 21 and verse number 5, Jesus is standing on the bank and he yells out a question to those disciples in the boat. Then Jesus saith unto them, watch this, children, have ye any meat? You know what he's asking? Y'all look at me very carefully. Next to the last question, we're almost done. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? You don't think that Bible's necessary for your life? How are you doing? You think you can live any way you want and be blessed of God? How are you doing? You think you can do just anything you want, go any direction you want, and there's no consequences and everything's going to be hunky-dory? How are you doing? How are you doing? Have you caught anything? You want to get lied to? Ask a fisherman how many fish he caught. I believe that question was directed at one man, the leader of the outfit, Simon Peter. Hey, Pete, y'all caught anything? I believe the Lord was grinning. I believe he's the reason they hadn't caught anything. Now you got to figure they wasn't chunking a Zebco 33. They wasn't watching a bobber. They were throwing nets. And even the law of averages would tell you they'd have caught something. At least an old loggerhead turtle, they'd have caught something. And they answered him, no. No. We fished all night long, Lord. We ain't caught nothing. Can I ask you a question this morning? Maybe you've went back on God. Maybe you've went back on some decisions or some promises you made God in the past. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing with your social drinking? How are you doing with your recreational drug? How are you doing? That's what Jesus said. How y'all doing? You remember the Bible said earlier in the New Testament that Peter forsook his nets, did he not? And followed Jesus. But he's went back to what he's forsaken. Brother Todd, I don't know how many times since I've been saved, I've found my flesh and my mind going back to what I've forsaken. And every time I do that, I find myself in the same boat Simon Peter's in. Nothing. Nothing. Follow the story and we're done. Chapter 21 and verse number 5. He said, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Here's the answer to the question. Lord, we ain't doing worth a flip. We sure could use your help. We've done everything we know to do. We're professional fishermen. We're good at this, and we've caught nothing. Could you help us? Even the psalmist David cried, help, Lord. Could you help us? He said, I tell you what, cast your net on the right side. Don't you think they had done that all night long? They had done the very same thing all night long, but without the blessing of God, it was useless. Would you like God to bless all that effort you're putting in, all that overtime you're working? I remember doing side jobs. I'd do plumbing work all day long. I'd come home, do plumbing work all night long. We'd string lights and houses, putting in plumbing in commercial buildings, trying to make money. I'd bring that money home. It didn't matter how much I brought home. It was never enough. Somebody help me right there. It didn't matter how much you make. It all went out. Man, if all you've got's your effort, you're spinning your wheels. Lord, we've fished all night. We've taken out, cast your net on the right side. And they caught so many they couldn't pull them in. That's my kind of fishing right there. Adam, where are you? Brother Todd, y'all come on the piano. Jacob, who are you? Disciples, what are we going to do? Disciples, how are you doing? Living your old life. How's it treating you? Last one and I'm done. Same chapter, John chapter 21. Verse number 15. Once they got to the shore, evidently the Lord had done some fishing himself because he had them a meal fixed. He had some fish on the grill. The Bible said in verse 15, now we're still in the same story, children, have you any meat? The Bible said in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. People straining at gnats and swallowing camels miss the entire meaning of this passage of Scripture. They like to make it much more complicated than it is. The Lord is asking the final question of the message this morning. Peter, will you serve me? Will you follow me like you said you would? Will you serve me? Do you love me more than these? What are the these? The ground before them is covered with the fish that they have just taken. To Simon Peter, that translates into a paycheck. And the Lord said, Simon, do you love me more than your money? Do you love me more than your profession? Lord, you know I love you. Well, do what I told you to. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Somebody said, oh, you got to have the three different kinds of love, the two different kinds of love, the phileo and the agape. If God wanted us to have phileo and agape, it would have said phileo and agape. But we don't have a Greek Bible. We have an English Bible. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? This is so simple, you'll miss it if you don't get it. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Will you serve me? Simple questions this morning. If you're going to reach your spiritual goals, you may have to answer these questions. Where are you? Where are you spiritually? Who are you? Are you a child of God? Or are you a child of the devil? You on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? Who are you this morning? I'm glad I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I don't do everything right. I don't always make the right choices and decisions, but I am a child of God. I know that I'm saved, and you can leave here knowing that this morning. Disciples, what are we going to do in this situation? You going to trust what you got, or are you going to trust what God can do? How are you doing? Living the way you want to live. How's it treating you? Lastly, will you serve me? Let's stand our feet all over the house. It's my prayer this morning that you not only answer one of those questions,
but that you answer them all. That you be honest with God and you be honest with yourself about where you are, who you are, what you're going to do this year. You going to trust God or how much money you can make? Why don't you trust God to help you make the money you need? Will you serve him? Boy, let's be obedient this morning. Wonder if we could bow our heads all over the house. Nobody's looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if this morning, yes, said, preacher, I realize where I am this morning. And where I am is not where I need to be. Preacher, pray that the Lord had helped me to get where I need to be. I realize I'm not where I ought to be spiritually. Could you slip up your hand this morning? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, but I ain't where I ought to be. Man, hands all over this building. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. I wonder if there's one here this morning said, preacher, I got honest with God and honest with myself about who I am. And I know I'm not who I ought to be. If I died today, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Preacher, pray I could get that settled in my heart. I wouldn't embarrass you or come to you for nothing in the world. But I wonder if somebody would say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not who I ought to be. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? You need to slip it up and put it right back down. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that if I died today, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Preacher, pray for me that I'd trust God in my situation. I've been trusting in what I can do and what I can make happen, and it's getting me nowhere. Pray I'd trust God. Just pray I'd be able to give Him what I've got and let Him multiply it. How about that? Hands all over the building again. A lot to pray about this morning. Wonder how many of you'd say, "Preacher, I love Him, but I failed to serve Him." Pray for me that I'd serve Him like He'd have me to in 2016. How about it this morning? Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, we do love you, and Lord, we do fail you day in and day out. Lord, thank you for helping us to realize where we are, who we are. And Lord God, thank you for having the ability and the power to change that when we're honest with you and honest with ourselves. God, you saw every hand this morning. You know every heart. Lord, help us to start this year out in the right direction. Lord, help those that are not where they ought to be with you to get right this morning. Lord, they're just an altar call away. Help them to repent of their sin, God, and turn and go in the right direction. Lord, help those who don't even know who they are this morning to get that settled. Help us this morning, God, to start this year out with somebody being born again. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to serve you. Have your way in this invitation. God, we'll give you glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 3/4 of the hands in this church went up at some portion during this altar call. You ought to come pray this morning. You ought to come pray. Y'all go ahead and sing, "God Dealing With Your Heart." Why don't you come? Why don't you come?
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me.
How about it this morning? God Dealing With Your Heart. Why don't you come? You raised your hand and said, "I'm not sure. I'm going to heaven when you die." Come, let us help you get that settled this morning. We'll pray with you. We'll take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. Get that settled today. Listen, on the first Sunday of this new year that God has given us, I know what time it is. Who cares? Why don't we begin this year by saying, "God, I don't care what time it is, whatever you want to do. Take your time, Lord." You'll sit in a doctor's office for 2 hours waiting to see a doctor. Well, I'm here to tell you the doctor's in this morning, and there's no waiting. He'll meet you right here. You raised your hand this morning. Why don't you come start something right this morning? You want to get where you're going? Realize where you are. You are here. You are here. I saw a sign in a truck stop one day, and I'll never forget it. It said this: "Wherever you are, there you are." Wherever you're at, there you are. You're wondering where you're at? You're where you are. Maybe you just need to realize it this morning. I want to get somewhere this year. But to get somewhere, I got to realize where I'm at. I got to realize who I am. I got to realize what I'm going to do. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust me? Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust the church finances? Man, I sure wasn't trusting the church finances when we moved here 18 years ago. I trusted God. And the Lord said to me yesterday, "Would you trust me like that again? Would you do something that huge, that big, just because I told you to? Here was my answer. Lord, I hope I would. I hope I would. I want to. I want to have that kind of faith. And I want to have that kind of trust. I'm going to trust Him. And when He said, Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. I do love Him this morning. And He said, well, feed my lambs. Will you serve me? I want to serve Him. I want to give God my life this year. Whatever He wants. Won't you mind the Lord? They're praying. It's going to take a few minutes. Don't get no hurry. Y'all sing. God dealing with your heart. Come on. Come on. Find you a place. Get your wife by the hand. Come on, husband. Be the leader. Say, come on, we need to pray. We need God's direction for our home, for our family, for our children.
Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus. He will give you rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you.
Listen to me. Let's bow our heads together one more time. Nobody looking around. I'm going to get them to sing that next verse. There are some people here this morning that I have prayed for diligently. And you're in church this morning. I'm so glad. Nobody could be happier that you're in church this morning than I am. But you know that old prodigal son? He realized where he was at. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to realize I'm in the hog pen. He had to make a decision. He said, I will arise and go to my father. Now, it was a journey to get back to where he ought to be. Remember, he went to a far country. He'd got a long way from where he ought to be. But he had to start somewhere. He had to get up out of that hog pen and head back in the right direction. I'm glad you're in church this morning, but you need to take that next step. You need to come back to the Father and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Lord, I'm sorry. You know what He'll do? He'll forgive you. And He'll put you right back where you was before you left, before you know it, if you'll just trust Him this morning. Heads are bowed. Why don't you come? Y'all go ahead and sing another verse. God dealing with your heart. Come on. Let's pray together this morning. Somebody said, preacher, I've gone too far. No, no, no. Not that God can't reach you.
Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim His best. He will give you rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon.
Listen, these people praying. So don't clap or applaud. We'll do that at the end of the service. There's already been four saved here this morning. Four precious little boys or girls saved out in Junior Church today. Bless his name. Bless his name. Are you supposed to be number five? Are you supposed to be the one that gets that settled in your heart today? People down here doing business with God right now, getting that very question answered about who they are this morning. Ain't nothing more important than that. That's why the church is here, that the world might know Jesus died for them. Y'all sing another verse, God dealing with your heart. You're going to reach your goal this year? Where are you going to start? No time like the present. No time like the present. You mind the Lord. Y'all go ahead.
Stumbling on the mountains, dark with sin and shame, stumbling toward the pit of hell's consuming flame. By the powers of sin, deluded and oppressed, hear the tender shepherd, come to me and rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest.
Amen. This is Courtney. She just got saved. Amen. God bless your heart, Courtney. Hallelujah. I slipped away in my office this morning just before church started. And I promise you, this is what I asked God. I said, Lord, we see kids saved every week out in junior church, but give us one in adult church today. Lord, let somebody come to know you. And I prayed for Courtney. I did. I said, Lord, these new ladies at the home, Lord, I pray if they don't know in their heart, help them get that settled today. God's so good.